Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, Dr. Scott here. Welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. Before we hop into today's episode, I wanted to share a couple things with y'all. First, and I'll come back to this with more details in a minute, is that the challenge registration is open. The next challenge starts on June 7th. You can find the link in the show notes. But more importantly, I wanted to share a story of a conversation that I had recently with one of our previous challengers, and just an incredible story of perseverance and reflection. And I am so grateful that Tommy and I have been doing these challenges over the last 12 months. We've taken hundreds of people through them. And as we like to say, peek behind the curtain or full transparency, we did not know that we would be doing 7 to 10 day guided fasting challenges. When we started the podcast, we had this desire and want to help people by sharing our story of how fasting has transformed our lives, allowed us to lose the weight, regain our health, and overall just completely changed the trajectory of my life in terms of the path I was on compared to the path I'm on now when it comes to my health. So with that, the conversation was really enlightening to me in that, you know, this person had done a previous challenge and gotten incredible results. I think 12 pounds in 10 days. And no, that was not a, you know, 7 or 10 day extended fast. We used fast cycling windows, so shorter windows stacked on top of each other to get incredible fat loss and weight loss results. And then through the experience of life, the wheels kind of came off and the old habits crept back in, and the focus and the mindset had shifted outside of those 10 days. And he shared that, you know, the weight came back and didn't really know why. So we worked through that, talked through it, re-engaged, went through a second challenge, and now the magic is really happening. Down over 25 pounds, which is 1/4 of the way to the end goal in just about 6 weeks. So incredible results. But the biggest thing that I've noticed is that there's been a perspective shift. And they shared with me that recently, one of the biggest frustrations with this is, you know, over the last 30 years, you know, every time they try a new program or try to stick to something new, they make, you know, a few small steps in the right direction. So a couple pounds here, a couple wins here, and then the weeks go by and it just starts to slip and move back in the opposite direction. And the biggest takeaway and the biggest realization where I learned something through this process is fasting is extremely powerful in that it reaches a lot of all of us in a different level in a different place. And, you know, just talking through the scenario and the plan and what we're going to do to continue the amazing progress, you know, is that the end goal is an audacious one. You know, this person has about over 100 pounds they want to lose. And like I mentioned, they're about 1/4 of the way there. So just incredible results. But the thing that was said that really blew me away was when they shared a personal story of an injury decades ago, which doesn't allow them to work out. It doesn't allow them to walk normally. So this exercising component of weight loss, they kind of go like hand in hand. Like you need to eat better. You need to avoid the donuts and the snack foods. You need to eat salads every day. But the other side of the equation is you need to work out. You know, people put in, you know, these 3 to 5, sometimes 6 workout a week programs. So you're going to eat less and you're going to move more, right? That's the old paradigm. You're going to track your calories and weigh your foods and do your macros, and you're going to hit your, you know, your targets and your workouts, and you're going to stay consistent. And the realization here was that this person can't do that. They have a limitation where they can't use half of their body because of the injury in the past. So when they said to me, this is the first time in my life that I actually feel like I can accomplish this goal because I have the framework. And honestly, what they said was the group, the continuity group that they're a part of is what's really keeping them going in between these challenges. So just an incredible realization for me that I had no idea or even ever thought through the framework of, you know what, if I had weight to lose, and I've been there, you know, I lost 50 pounds in 50 days. And if you want to, you know, you can hear my story. It's back there somewhere in the previous episodes, but similar to Tommy's journey of losing all the weight and keeping it off too. But I had never thought about the fact that maybe I didn't have the option to go back to the old paradigm. Like I didn't have the option of doing it the way, the standard acceptable way of eat less and move more. So that exercise piece is absolutely important. But in this case, you know, I was floored by the fact that, you know, I'd never thought of it that way. I'd never thought of it in a way that you can't, or that, you know, like for instance, the show, The Biggest Loser, like you would never even turn that show on, you know, not that I'm endorsing, you know, what they do on the show, but it's just been a big eye-opening experience for me in taking this person through their journey. And I know for the first time, I know that they've got it. They figured it out. And, you know, just the feedback that this, you know, that statement, once again, this is the first time that I feel that I have control and that I can reach my goal. And if that is not the most empowering thing that you can think, act, and feel on a weight loss journey, I don't know what else is. So just a realization for me, you know, as we go take these hundreds of people through the challenges and all of you amazing listeners that turn your headsets on and turn the podcast on and listen to Tommy and I, you know, take you through different conversations about fasting. That was our intention from the beginning in turning the microphones on. We didn't know what we were doing. We just knew that we had a story that we needed, that we felt like we needed to share, because we had finally found some answers after searching, you know, for me personally, almost over two decades. So the challenge that's coming up on June 7th is designed specifically for anyone from the spectrum of brand new to fasting and want to try it out, all the way to experienced fasters that just need to feel like they're back on track, or that they need to break through that plateau, like I mentioned, or maybe you're like 5 pounds from your maintenance goal, or maybe you're in the beginning of the journey where you've got 80 to 100 pounds to lose. No matter where you fall, we're going to teach you the research. We're going to teach you the tips, the tricks, the plan. We're going to give you a dedicated schedule on how you can put fasting into your life to get the results that you've been looking for. And I just want to encourage you that if you've been listening and you're like, what are these challenges? No, I don't think it's for me. I can't do it. I've got this life event happening, you know, Father's Day is coming up, whatever it is. You know, I want to encourage you to take the leap. I cannot tell you, you know, after doing this for the last 12 to 18 months, that every group that we take through the challenge teaches us just as much as we teach them. And that's the conversational piece about being with a group of like-minded people on this journey of weight loss and health. So I want to encourage you guys to go to the show notes, click the link. The next challenge starts on June 7th. It's a 7-day guided fasting challenge. And we are incredibly excited that it is right around the corner. We've been planning for this one. We've been upgrading, we've been building, and it's going to be the best one yet. So I am excited to see y'all there. Click the link. Let us know if you have questions. And now to today's episode. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wadier. I'm here, as always, with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Great afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, Scott. How are you?
Doing awesome. Today is a fun conversation. I get to quote one of my favorite golfers in the history of my love for that extraordinarily frustrating, fun game all at the same time. We're going to talk about beginning with the end in mind, and we're really going to break down some recent realizations and conversations that you and I have had coming out of a 10-day challenge, some of our group coaching calls, is the concept of maintenance. Mm-hmm. And the fear and the, I lost 10 pounds during the challenge and then I went and put it all back on, or I dieted for 12 weeks and I lost 22 pounds. And then a year later, you're back to where you started, or you've regained a few and now you're sitting at 25 pounds. That is the last thing that we want for you guys, the listeners, for our Fasting for Life family. We always want to give actionable steps and tools to be able to make fasting a lifestyle that gets results that you really haven't been able to get elsewhere. So when we're talking about the idea of maintenance, Tommy, that losing and gaining, or that fear that comes along with it, is really kind of just lurking in the shadows a lot of times.
Yeah, especially when you first start getting results with fasting, or you're kind of new to fasting. I remember for me, I had a lot of insecurities going into it because honestly, it had been a long time since I had seen significant movement on the scale, because my insulin resistance was getting to a point to where the scale was getting very, very slow to move down and very quick to move up. So if I did drop even like 5 or 8 pounds, they were coming back, and likely several more, really, really quickly, in a matter of maybe just a few weeks. So it was getting to a point of very high frustration, and that was leading to some fear for me whenever I started to see the scale move when I started using intermittent fasting.
Yeah. So if you're new to the podcast or new to fasting, some of these things might be, you know, you might be sitting here going, I got 80 pounds to lose maintenance. What the heck do I have to even worry about maintenance for? Mm-hmm. Let me just get the ball moving in the right direction. And that's absolutely true. 50 pounds in 50 days. And we did a recent episode on that. You know, it's 2 years later. And,
yeah,
you know, for the first time, it hasn't come back. It's right. Forever gone. Right. It's the, oh, I lost 20. Thank you. For the 20 for the wedding, or 25 for the 25 year anniversary. And then, okay, well, it's come back again. Right. So we want to make sure that we're putting in, to contrast, to make sure I'm clear here, you know, you got 80 pounds to lose. Maintenance isn't even in the picture yet.
Right.
It's going to happen quickly if you stay consistent. And then the other side is you got that last 5 or 10 pounds to lose, or, you know, you lose the 5, gain the 5 every Monday to Sunday. Right. So
yeah,
I should say, if you weigh in on Thursday and then Monday, so you've made great progress, and then boom, bam, Monday comes and you know, that 4 to 5 pounds is kind of fluctuating. So there's a few things, you know, in uncovering that fear of the regain train that, you know, we can speak to in terms of how we want to frame out what maintenance looks like. And then we can give you a few examples of, you know, just using some simple techniques to make sure that you are staying consistent. So yeah, for me, staying that word in itself, staying consistent in your journey to maintenance, in your journey to the end goal, is going to be one of the key components to having that, you know, eventual result stay and not give it all back, or allow it to kind of creep back on over the days, weeks, and months.
Yeah. And, for me personally, when I had, roughly 80 pounds to lose, whenever I first got started, maintenance was so far off, right? Just like what you just said, that it was hard for me to kind of see that end point. But as soon as the ball started to get rolling and I was down maybe 20 or 25 pounds, and that felt great. It felt amazing. But I had this lurking fear, like, as soon as I take my foot off the gas, like, what's going to happen? Like, those pounds are going to probably just magically just jump right back onto the scale, onto my body. Like I felt like some sort of magnet for this additional weight, that somehow I had found some miracle cure to get it off. And I was just worried, like, really, like, fearful that it was going to just come right back on. So, you know, understanding that there is a method to maintenance, and that there's flexibility to it, and there's a reason why we're so confident that it's going to work, even if you have, a while before that point, means that you don't have to kind of have that same fear that we did when we first got started. And, understanding how you can kind of change around some of the variables, including the actual like fasting and eating windows and how you can structure your day to day and your week to week to conform to what you need for maintenance is a really empowering thing.
So comparing those two situations, right? You're just starting the journey. You're going to get some rapid fat loss. You probably hit a couple of plateaus or speed bumps along the way, but staying consistent, like we said, is the first key point over time. And then the other side of it is, you know, you've got that last 5 or 10, or you're just bobbing and weaving back and forth, you know, above, below, like your maintenance goal. Mm. You know, some of the things that happen along the way with consistency is if you're just starting to speak to that side to begin with, is some of the cravings and the hangriness, that comes with, you know, starting to make some lifestyle changes. You know, we don't subscribe to the eliminate pizza. For me, it's pizza. Eliminate it from your life forever, because that's just going to, my brain's going to, you know, throw a temper tantrum one day. I'm going to eat 7 large pizzas over the course of a week and feel like crap and then beat myself up about it. Right. We don't want that. Right. So we want to be able to making sure that maintenance is going to look like what you want your life to look like at the end. As we undo the insulin resistance, we see some cool hormonal things change. There's all this additional, you know, benefits of autophagy and brain, you know, protection against Alzheimer's and the ability for the, you know, the brain to, you know, be neuroplastic, meaning has the ability to regrow and heal, all the additional health benefits, but staying consistent through the process of losing the weight to get to maintenance is really like the first key step.
Hey everyone, I wanted to tell you about an incredible company called Air Doctor Pro. You can go to airdoctorpro.com, use the promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off one of their amazing air filters. By supporting them, you're supporting us and the show. I want to tell you an incredible testimony. We now know that the indoor air is 2 to 5, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted than the outdoor air, according to the EPA. And my son has been struggling with sleep. He hasn't slept. He's over 2 years old. He hadn't slept through the night his entire life. My wife and I had done everything. We could not figure it out. We put an Air Doctor Pro in his room, and I am not kidding. The first night he slept through the night. He went over 30 nights in a row for the first time ever sleeping through the night. We don't know what it did or what was in the air because we've had our house tested, but whatever it's doing is allowing him to rest and sleep peacefully for the first time. And for that, it is absolutely priceless. Air Doctor Pro comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund. Minus shipping, head to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off any of their air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you'll also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in the special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code FASTINGFORLIFE.
Yeah, and we hear about questions about consistency and how to get, like, for example, when we get out of a 10-day challenge, and we see some phenomenal results. And there's always the question that comes up, which is like, how do I maintain my results here? And how do I stay consistent with it? Like, what do I need to do after that? And the cool thing is, when we start to see the results, the big drops in the beginning, like you talked about, it becomes even easier than you might expect to stay consistent with it because of those hormonal changes that you mentioned. Like, as the insulin sensitivity comes up, as we start to drop a few pounds, then those cravings and the hanger go down. It gets easier to stick to a timer. It gets easier to jump into the next fast and more comfortable. Like, each one becomes, you know, on average, a little bit more comfortable than the last one. And even pushing your windows, like what we hear a lot of times was, you know, going into the challenge, I had never done more than a 16-hour fast. But by the end of the challenge, they had done a 48-hour fast. And they realized how much easier it was to do a 24 or 36 hour fast, to keep making more and more progress that was really like hard to understand how much easier that would be, like before the process got started.
Yeah. You can't even see it. Right. Mm-hmm. So that concept of insulin, it's a seesaw. So it's, you know, insulin resistance is the bad side of it that causes weight loss resistance, weight gain, fat storage, et cetera. Then you've got the insulin sensitivity, like you mentioned, Tommy, that goes up, which allows the effectiveness of insulin to burn fat faster and more efficiently, mm-hmm. to burn off the excess, the energy that's come in the form of food. And, you know, one thing we want to be clear on is as we progress through the journey, making sure that you're taking checkpoints on knowing what got you there. So there's always one or two people that, you know, have done the program or even they haven't even done the program. They just started listening to the podcast and they lose a bunch of weight. And then we don't hear from them. And then they send us a message saying, yeah, it just didn't stick. Right? Or someone will come out of the challenge. We ended a challenge once on the day before Super Bowl. And someone's like, oh, that was a bad idea. Like, so I have this other thing in mind is like, all right, I made it to the finish line. You know, I ran the marathon. I'm going to stop on the bakery on the way home and get a six pack of custom, like fancy donuts and cupcakes. And we're going to get pizza and have the beer and whatever. Or maybe it's, you know, you hit a milestone and you finish the 10 days and you're getting up for work or you're tired or stressed the next day. And you're like, you know what? I'm just really hungry or I just really deserve this. And the next thing you know, you find yourself in the gas station, making some poor decisions, grabbing some stuff off of the shelf where you're like, well, wait a minute, how did I end up here? So making sure that we reflect on the things that got you to the point of success on the journey. So if it's the first 20 pounds, or you've gotten to the point where it's the last 5 or 10 pounds, or you're at your maintenance goal, we want to make sure that you're taking inventory of knowing the consistent things over time that got you there.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I think that gets a little bit easier as we keep going through the process. But, you know, that brings me to a point of being intentional, right? Like you just mentioned making decisions in the moment and those kind of emotional decisions that can kind of take us away from being intentional with our actual food choices. And that's part of the conversation about like what actually got us here. Because when we talk about an insulin friendly lifestyle and a fasting lifestyle, you know, like you mentioned that we never define that as removing the pizza from the menu, you know, like, or whatever your favorite food is. But controlling the time around that food is your like throttle switch. That's your dimmer switch. That's where you have the control over it. And you can be intentional about when to put that into your life and still maintain control over the scale, right?
Yeah, that lifestyle component. Fasting for Life was called Fasting for Life for a reason. We could have called it, you know, the Two Dudes Fasting Podcast, right? Like we could have called it anything, right? Like we could have called it anything. Fasting for Life had an intention behind it. And it's not an on-off switch. Like, yes, it's on and off when you're eating versus not eating. But the idea and the concept from 30,000 feet of this lifestyle is not on off. It's not the old, you know, fear of, oh, I'm on my diet this week. I'm off my diet this week. Oh, I'm back on Monday. Oh, I'm off the wagon on Thursday. Like, I don't like that construct because it in my mind, it sets you up for the ability to make it easier to be off. And it's harder to get back on.
Yeah. Yeah. It has failure built into it.
Yeah, it really does. That fear failure point is absolutely built into it. So, you know, when we're looking at maintenance, it's really hard. And, you know, honestly, Tommy, maybe that's why we haven't talked concrete examples of maintenance up until this point, because it really does look a little bit different for everyone. And, you know, a lot of the times we'll get a question. It's like, hey, your fast start guide says, you know, start with OMAD, right? So if you're new to the podcast, you can go to the website, thefastingforlife.com. You can download the fast start guide. It's a simple PDF with 6 steps on how to put one meal a day or OMAD, one meal a day fasting into your day to day. And a lot of people are like, well, okay, well, it seems too simple. Like, what do I do now? I'm like, okay, well, do that until you've reached your desired goal. And then you know, okay, well, what do I do now? Right. So it's still like this tension of like, well, I really can't tell you unless I ask you like 20 more questions.
Right.
How much weight did you have to lose? How long have you been trying? How many decades? You know, what's your overall health profile? What are your cravings? Like, what's your habitual pattern? Are you an emotional eater? Are you a workoutaholic? Or like, and there's no way to be like, okay, this is the maintenance plan for you. Because it's just so layered. So I think, you know, when we get to this maintenance type mindset or this lifestyle, it's like having the confidence to know that you have the control and the ability to play around with the different fasting windows. Like you just referenced an article in our conversation recently where, you know, there's an article out there that talks about 7 different variations of fasting for a 24-hour window.
Yeah.
Like there's all these different subsets and names, the crescendo, the warrior, the IF, and I'm like,
the simple, the complex,
the simple, the complex. Yeah. It's like, whoa, complexing it up. Right. So that's why we love the idea of the OMAD, the one meal a day for fat loss. And it's so hard. And I'm just real time realizing this. I can tell by the look on your face. It's like, maybe this is why we haven't talked about what maintenance should look like, because it's so dang hard to nail down. But if we go back to knowing what got you there and having the confidence to play around with these fasting windows and having the cravings decrease and the hanger go away and the insulin sensitivity increase and all the additional benefits, the clearer skin and the better sleep and for my wife to say to me, better husbandry. Mm-hmm. I know I'm a better dad. I'm not nearly as, you know, easily triggered to go into dad mode, right? Like I'm like, I'm just better with my kids. Like they can be crazy little monsters that they are that I love. And I'm like, fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. My patience goes up. So, you know, we're going to go through a couple of examples of what maintenance might look like. And knowing that I believe that fasting should be a part of most people's daily or weekly, I should say, kind of health practice because of the additional health benefits outside of weight loss.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that the simplest way to think about maintenance is, you know, if we're coming from an OMAD structure, which we typically look at as maybe a 30 to 60 minute eating window once a day, it's easy to just kind of open it up from there to get into a maintenance mode. So one way to do that might look like a 4 or a 6 or even potentially an 8-hour eating window every single day as a very simple, repeatable way to do that. Alternatively, you can be a little bit more vigilant or a little bit longer in your fast, either during the weekdays or during the weekends, and have a little bit different structure weekdays versus weekends, depending on, you know, kind of what your day-to-day schedule looks like, right?
And a perfect example of this would be, you know, I'm a diehard golf fan. I love sports. I grew up with sports. I don't nearly follow them as even closely as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I should say this, but don't hold it against me as a New England fan born and raised in Massachusetts, raised in Rhode Island. No, not Long Island, the tiny little state near Connecticut and Massachusetts, not the island in New York. Mm-hmm. Love that. Oh, you're from Rhode Island. Yeah. Long Island. No, Rhode Island. So growing up a New England sports fan, you know, being born in the 80s, I missed some of the good, you know, historical wins that we had. And I grew up in a very large drought of championships and the pain of 162 baseball games a year. And then you just knew we were going to lose to the Yankees or not even make the playoffs because they were just that much better.
Yeah.
So huge sports fan, grew up playing golf. It was probably the best sport I played. That was the only sport I consider myself at least decent at, even though I played a bunch. So one of my favorite golfers of all time just recently won and did something that's never been done before on the PGA Tour. So Phil Mickelson is 50 years old, actually almost 51. And he is the oldest golfer to ever win one of the majors. So one of the majors is like a Super Bowl or, you know, a major in tennis. You know, this is like the 99 out of the top 100 golfers in the world were at this course. This course was one of the longest championship courses ever to be played. Like if I played this course, I'd shoot 200. These guys were shooting in the 70s and 60s. Like I would shoot double their score. Wow. Double. They are just incredible. So he's 50, almost 51 years old. This course is windy as heck. It's on the coast of South Carolina. It's one of the longest courses with the strongest fields. And he wins the dang thing. And like 5 years, 4.5, 5 years older than any other major winner ever in the history of golf. And golf's been around since like the late 1800s, right? So just an incredible feat. And it was cool because this illuminated one of the things that Phil has done differently, much like, you know, Tom Brady has done differently of winning 7 Super Bowls. He lives his life very differently from a nutritional and health perspective than a lot of the other people in the NFL. But Phil fasts 36 hours every week. And this is a quote: "I fast 36 hours every week. So I give up all food for a day and a half and I let my body kind of reset." And I saw a funny question on one of the talking head sports talk radio shows or whatever, when I was Googling, looking for this, when I found this quote, and then I had to went back to go find it.
Yeah.
And they were asked, they had a round table, right? A bunch of talking heads, sports announcers and commentators and all that. Mm-hmm. And it was like, would you do this? Would you fast for 36 hours every week to pull off what Phil just pulled off? Oh, and some people were like, no, no way. Couldn't do it. 36 hours. Are you kidding me? And if you know Phil, like, one of his things is he likes to drink wine. He likes to hit bombs. Like, that's one of his quotes. Like, he's hitting the ball farther now. He's playing against kids half his age. The guy he played against in the final group hit the ball like 355 down the middle of this one fairway. Phil gets up there and bombs at 366 down, split the middle of the fairway. Like, you're not supposed to be able to do this. Wow. Never mind at 50 years of age. So I love the fact that, like, there are these people that are like, no, I wouldn't do that. No way. Well,
right, that's insanity.
It's insanity. He's reinvested in himself and he is playing. He just pulled something off that's never been done before. So I love the fact that he has incorporated fasting and he's like, I just feel better. I just perform better. So, like, with that in mind, for maintenance, for Phil, he fasts 36 hours once a week and I just absolutely love it.
Right. And I don't have any evidence that he gives a whole lot of thought to the rest of the week, really. Just kind of like, oh, I'm just, you know, living my day-to-day life. And then I just set aside time for one 36 hour fast.
Drinking wine, hitting bombs.
Right. He does. And he looks incredible too.
He does.
He's probably down, like, what is he down? 50 or 70 pounds probably?
No. Maybe. He did get pretty fluffy, but he's not like a big built guy. So I'd say he's probably down like 20 or 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Maybe 40.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, if you've never played golf, walking a golf course seems like a simple feat. It's not. Some of these places are, I know somebody out there listening who, like, actually played, like, you know, football or soccer, or someone's going to be like, oh, it's golf. Right. But I mean, 50 years of age, you've been doing this for almost 3 decades, right? Like,
yeah, he's at the top. It's awesome.
He's at the top. He won the hardest, like, one of the toughest courses. So just absolutely incredible. But framing, you know, that as an example of what maintenance might look for a professional golfer who just pulled off one of the greatest feats in the sporting history. You know, for us mere mortals, it's going to probably look a little bit different. For me, OMAD works for me.
Yeah.
I love OMAD. You know, it's great. It consistently, I'm sleeping better. I feel pretty good most days. My numbers are in the place that I want them to be at. Could I push and get a little bit lower on the scale, or maybe, you know, lose a more pound or two more of body fat? Yeah, I can. And there are plans to do that. Like, I always want to improve. But OMAD is really keeping me maintaining where I've been at for a little bit now, and I'm really enjoying it. So I know, Tommy, for you, similar, but you have a date night that works its way in every week. I have a date night every couple of weeks. But, you know, another example is that whole, like, you know, 4-hour window during the week and then IF on the weekends, if we want to unpack that one.
Yeah, you know, because a lot of times we have social opportunities that come up around the weekend time. So, you know, using something like maybe a 6 or an 8 hour window, or like a 2 meals a day on a Saturday and Sunday, and then keeping a strict intentional OMAD during the rest of the week. That's one way to do it. And, you know, we have some folks in our continuity group who actually flip-flop that too, who take the opportunity to do like a 36 or a 48 hour fast during the actual during the weekdays sometimes. And then just kind of, you know, let the rest of the chips just kind of fall with some intentional eating and just some looser fasting and eating windows during the rest of the week. So that, you know, it, like we said, it can, there's different ways to skin a cat, right?
Yeah. So just going back to the kind of underlying threads is, you know, when you're, if you've got 80 pounds to lose, or you're at your maintenance goal and you're trying to figure out how to maintain it or stay there, right, without giving it all back, mm-hmm. knowing what got you there, having the confidence to play around with the windows, making it truly a lifestyle, not necessarily an on-off switch of the diet mentality. And, you know, actionably, what it looks like is figuring out what you want that day-to-day life to look like, and then just kind of start plugging in the pieces from there. So as we, you know, I love that question, and that's why I brought it up, of, you know, the roundtable discussion about Phil was, you know, would you do that every week to get the results Phil did? Well, some people are like, oh, heck no. And other people are like, yeah, absolutely. Of course I would do that.
Right.
My question to all of you guys listening is, what are you willing to do to have the result that you're looking for? And start building it out with that framework in mind of like, what do you want your day to day? What do you want your wins to be? What do you want your daily life to be like? And then just start putting in the pieces using fasting. You know, obviously, yes, we want to eat healthy foods. We don't want to be just eating fast foods and processed foods and all that kind of stuff. In our opinion, right. That's not going to build health. It's going to move you farther away from your goal. So as we kind of dismount from the ever moving target of what is maintenance and what should it look like and what fasting window should I use and all of that stuff, knowing what got you there, having the confidence to change it. And Tommy, I know you said you had an action step here that would kind of help land the plane for a lot of people. And, you know, make sure that we're not just talking kind of anecdotally about what it would look like, but some hard actual like scheduling ideas that we've kind of gone over to make sure that, you know, if you're there, great. If you've got a little work to do, you know what you should be doing to get there.
Yeah. I think it's a matter of kind of testing the method for yourself, because just that little bit of fear, like, I'm not sure if maintenance is going to work. I'm not sure if the weight's going to come back. For me personally, just to accelerate the learning curve, for anybody who's you know, on this journey right here, you know, take a week or two and dedicate it to trying out, you know, one of the schedules that we talked about, like using one of these maintenance methods, and just kind of loosely watch the scale, see how you feel, see how the scale moves. It's likely, you know, you might put on, you know, a pound or two for water weight and glycogen and things like that, as you put on a little bit more food in, but it's unlikely that you're going to, you know, tack on additional actual like pounds of actual fat if you're watching it. So, you know, do that, gain a little bit of confidence with the method, because you can always put your foot back on the gas, but it's likely that you're going to come out of that a little bit more confident, ready to go to the next step, ready to push through the next plateau. And I think you're going to find just a better connection to the method, and the results will, you know, accelerate from there.
So I like that. Two C's: be consistent and be confident, right? So be confident and willing to try some things and figure out what's going to work for you. But remember, focus and know and highlight along the journey the things that got you there, and those consistent habits over time will absolutely do that. If you're new to the podcast, or you need a re-up, or you need to get back on your game, go to the website, www.thefastingforlife.com, thefastingforlife.com. You can download our fast start guide, 6 simple steps to put fasting into your day-to-day life. If you're also looking for a like-minded community of intermittent/extended fasters, where you can get some encouragement and some accountability, you can search on Facebook for our Facebook group, the Fasting for Life community. It is a free group. It's growing like crazy. The energy is absolutely incredible in the group. We have a couple of awesome moderators and just a lot of cool things happening. So go to the website, download the Fast Start Guide, search for Fasting for Life community on Facebook. And Tommy, as always, sir, thank you for your time. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start Guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.